can go back tonight to the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read only two verses. Mark 14, verses 41 and 42. And he came the third time and said to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise up and let us go. See, he who betrays me is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the struggle in the garden is finished. It had been intense. It had been painful. It had been agonizing. Jesus struggled so that he sweat as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And the disciples went to sleep again and again and again. And Jesus had prayed and prayed earnestly and prayed more earnestly. It still intrigues me to think about Jesus praying more earnestly. But now the next step is before him. He says the hour has come. There is a time for retreat. There is a time for prayer. There is a time for preparation. There is a time for training. This is true regardless of your course in life. A team, any kind of team, football, basketball, baseball, any kind of team, whatever, must have its time of preparation and training and discipline, study and so forth before it ever plays a game. This is essential. But no team just wants to prepare to play and never play. They get tired of it. They want to get in the game. And sooner or later the coach says the hour has come. Now all you have done in preparation will be put to the test. True of all of life. John the Baptist had an extended time of preparation. We know practically nothing about him from the time of his birth until he was about 30 years of age. We know that he lived what we would call the life of a hermit, alone, out in the wilderness. He clothed himself in a garment made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. I like the honey. I don't particularly have any interest in the locusts. But this lifestyle apparently was for him a number of years. And then they came when he got the message. The hour had come. It was time for him to get on about the task which God had called him. He was prepared. He spent great time in preparation. But now he goes out preaching. Repent. 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 And this was true of Jesus. It's obvious that he grew, he studied and prayed and prepared himself spiritually and mentally and physically for the task that was before him. This went on for years. We see him only as a lad of 12 in the temple, asking questions of the priest, and they were intrigued by some of the things he asked and the answers that he gave. But we know nothing about him from then on, except perhaps that he worked as a carpenter, made chairs, tables, wagon yokes in the shop. Or maybe he built or repaired houses. We don't really know what he did. But he prepared himself for the task that was before him. And the day came when the time of preparation was past and the hour for him came to begin his ministry. And he went out and was baptized of John and took up the preaching of John, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's certainly true of us. We need time for preparation for life. We need to make the most of the opportunities that we have in training of our minds and bodies and spirits. And we need time for study and prayer. And I think we need to always remember the words of a man named Robert Speer, who said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." We are not to spend all of our time in preparation. Sooner or later, the hour comes when we must leave the place of preparation, the place of solitude, the place of prayer, and go out and do His will. I had an interesting experience years ago when I was at the Lakewood Church in Huntsville. There's a couple came there, a young couple came and joined the church, and they got really involved and active in the ministries of the church. And as I talked with them, they said, you know, the church they had come from, they loved. They said, "It's a good church, good people, great preaching, good prayer meetings, good Bible studies. But we got where we wanted to do something. We wanted to be involved in ministry." And so they came to us and we put them to work. Jesus, you remember, told the disciples after the resurrection to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, in the power of the Spirit, they were to be witnesses. And so they waited. They obeyed. They waited. They waited in prayer. They chose someone to take the place of Judas among the 12. They prayed for 10 days. Most of us would be worn out after 10 minutes, but they prayed for 10 days. They prayed until they were of one accord, of one mind, of one heart and spirit. But then the hour came to leave the place of prayer and go into the streets of the city to serve. And remember on that first Pentecost Sunday, Peter preached what you could call the first Christian sermon, and 3,000 people came to faith after one sermon. After the time of preparation in the garden, Jesus says, "The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Knowing arrest, trial, and crucifixion lay before Him, yet well prepared to face it, Jesus said, "The hour has come. Rise up. Rise up." You could say, "Attention." Reminds me a little bit of a sergeant, an officer in the army, whose troops are trained and prepared and ready, saying to them, "Rise up. Attention. Get on your feet. The hour for march has come. Rise up. It's time to move out." William P. Merrill caught the spirit in the hymn, which we all familiar with. We'll sing a little later. "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings." To all in the church, and I think especially to what we used to call chairpersons of boards and committees and work areas, Jesus might say, "Get out of your chair. Rise up. You've discussed too long. Rise up. Get on about the task." It used to disturb me when the conference would have conferences on evangelism and we'd go and meet for days talking about evangelism. But it seemed that was about all we ever did, was talk about it. Jesus saying, "Rise up. Get on your feet. Let's be going. Forward, march, move out to do the specific task. The kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and right the night of wrong." And for Jesus, this is a picture of awesome courage and obedience to the Father's will. He wasn't taken by surprise. He knew what lay before Him. Even now, in the darkness of the garden, He could have escaped. He could have left. But because of the period of preparation, He not only knew what was to happen to Him, He also knew that this was God's will for Him. And He was empowered to go out and embrace the Father's will. Because of the time of preparation. Let's be going, he said. The hour has come. Let's be going. John, in the 18th chapter of John, 11th verse, has Jesus making a statement which continually haunts me. When Jesus says, the cup which my Father gives me, shall I not drink it? He knew what was there. He knew the rest and the trial and the abuse and the torture and the crucifixion. But he says, the cup which my Father gives me. And as Paul put it, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Only because of the time of preparation could he, for the joy that was set before him, endure the cross. The joy that was set before him. And for us, this word of Jesus saying the hour has come, rise up, let's be going, must be a challenge for us to seek God's will and then go forward to embrace God's will for us. It's not enough for us to sing as we often do. We come to the garden alone and walk and talk with the Savior and share His joy. That's good. That's wonderful. But we must go through the garden and take up our cross and follow Him. Anyone would be my disciple. Let him deny himself daily. Take up his cross and follow me. You see, we're not just to sit on the premises or even stand on the promises. We must realize that the day of March has come, and if we are God's people, we go forward to do God's will for us, whatever it is God has for us to do. That's our task. That's our task. The hour has come. Rise up. Let us be going. Every age of mankind needs to hear this strong challenge from our Lord. The time for planning, discussing, dreaming, even praying passes, as important as this is. The time for action comes. Rise up. Let us be going. Lord Jesus, help us to wait before you in your word and in prayer until we know your will for us, until we have been empowered by your Spirit. But then, sure of your will for us, let us rise up and go forward to face whatever task you have for us, and do it with joy, receiving it from the Father's hand. And it's in your name that we pray.